Lord has given me a word to kind of share, to exhort, knows that I can get a little bit passionate and loud. And I'm going to try to keep that down. I'm going to try to keep it to a minimal. But I want you to know that is not an act. When I get up here and I feel that the Lord has spoke something to my spirit, I get excited about it. I get passionate about it. And it explodes on the inside of me. And it comes out loud. But I'm not just like that out here. I'm like that at home as well. My daughter tells me all the time, she's like, "Dad, you don't need to yell at me." I'm like, "I'm not. I'm just trying to emphasize this." And she's like, "You're getting loud." And I'm like, "Plug your ears, because it's going to be loud. If I feel it, I'm going to speak it." And I'm already getting loud, so I got to calm down. Sorry. I kind of... I know I'm not up here to tell jokes, but was sitting here this morning in worship, you know, I thought, like, this is not me. I am doing this, preparing to get up in front of you and speak a message is not a comfortable spot for me. And but in worship, kind of, I think the Lord was trying to lighten my spirit a little bit, and he kind of reminded me of that, I think it was the Geico commercial, "So easy a caveman could do it." And I think the Lord was saying, like, "Listen, if you can't feel my anointing this morning, it's so easy even you can do it. So get up there and do it." But I'm going to get right into it. Let's pray first, though. And my mom was going to be here this morning. And I got a text this morning, and they said she hadn't been feeling good for a couple days. And my mom is a prayer warrior. My mom, she prays for her kids and her grandkids and everybody she knows faithfully. And, I mean, we get calls. My mom requires care because of a stroke she had years ago. But my sister cares for her mainly. And my sister will call me many times and say, "I heard Mom tonight calling out your name before the Lord. I heard Mom tonight calling out Seth and Sydney's name before the Lord." She's doing war. And so let's pray this morning. I just want to pray for her real quick too. Lord, you know the desire of my heart this morning that I have called out to you, and I have asked, Lord, for you to speak through me. Lord, I pray that no one would see me here this morning, but they would see you. I pray, Lord, that the words I speak wouldn't be words from Rich Willett, but they would be words that have been placed on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. And that, Father, as I have prayed, that you would till the grounds of people's hearts so that the seed that's planted this morning would be received. Lord, I pray that every heart in this place this morning would hear what the word of the Lord would have to say to them. And the seed that's planted would be planted firmly in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you the thanks for anything that happens here this morning. Lord, we give you the glory. It's not me. It is 100% you. And I thank you for your presence in this room. In Jesus' name. And Lord, real quick, Lord, I pray that you would touch my mom. Lord, she's watching today. She said she was going to be watching. So Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would touch her body now in Jesus' name. Every bit of infirmity, I command you to leave by the power of Jesus. Amen. So what the Lord spoke to me may come across a little harsh at times. And I even told Pastor this months ago, I said, "I really am struggling putting this together because I think some of the things the Lord has put on me, some people may look and say, man, that's kind of rough." But don't shoot the messenger. I used to work at a boys' home years ago, a detention center. And we would always tell the kids, if it doesn't apply, let it fly. But if it applies, take it to heart. ask God what you can do with it. I think everybody knows if you are in a relationship with the Lord that there's a battle going on. This world is a mess. Our counties are a mess. Our nation is a mess. The world is a mess. Politics are a mess. Local governments are a mess. Schools are a mess. And it's not because people aren't putting an effort and trying. But the enemy is waging war against you. The spiritual realm is not a fantasy. It's very real. It's more real than you sitting here right now. There is a war for your spirit, for your soul going on. And the enemy hopes to win that war. He hopes to beat you. But I'm here to tell you, if you have a relationship with Christ, you win. You may struggle. You may go through some battles. You may get knocked down. But you win. The topic of my message this morning is join the fight. Our fight is not against each other. It's not against local politicians. It's not against the school board. It's not against, I'll say it, the LGBTQ community. It's not against, you know, the police. Our fight is a spiritual fight. But the enemy, his goal is to keep us distracted by what's going on here so we don't win the war there. If he can get us distracted by what's happening here and thinking like we've got to change the culture of my surroundings, we're never really joining the fight because that's not your fight. My kids are going to laugh that I'm getting my glasses out. Over the last year and a half, these have become a necessity. My son thought it was a joke. I'm blind in one eye. So about a year ago, my son comes home with a monocle. And he's like, here, Dad, maybe this will help. He's a jerk. I've never tried it, and I'm not going to. Now I can see. Here's your fight. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. And I thought I had my marker in the right spot, but I don't. Strike one. Keep going. That's what happens when you don't have your marker in the right spot. You struggle to find it. And then you bring a new Bible, and the pages don't come apart. Oh my gosh, I'm way off. Holy smokes. Maybe the glasses aren't helping. I was right. My marker was right. I had my notepad in the wrong spot. There we go. This is going down real quick. So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God by pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thought thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Can I tell you something? In this spiritual fight we're in, our words are key. The words we speak are what we allow ourselves to meditate on. When the words come out of our mouth, it's not because it's a slip of the tongue. It's because we meditate on those things. When we say, I can never do this, it's because we believe we can never do it. When we tell our kids, you're an idiot. Why are you so dumb? You're thinking they're dumb. You wouldn't speak those things over them or over yourself if you didn't allow yourself to meditate on those. So that's what this is talking about, taking those thoughts captive, arresting them, and not letting them have free roam in your mind. But noticing that when those thoughts are coming up, it's time to grab those thoughts and say, no, not today. I'm arresting you. I'm putting you in cuffs, and we're putting you in the back seat of the car and shutting the door, and we're not going to meditate on this thing. And choosing to change your thought patterns. Another scripture, Ephesians 6. Got to get the glasses back on. I was right this time, too. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's that spiritual battle, heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sorry, I got to get a drink. Our goal in this life isn't to change the culture of our surroundings when we're walking with Christ. That's not our battle. It's not to change our surroundings, but it's to shift the atmosphere. We will never win spiritual victory by trying to change our surroundings. But if we'll get in the face of God and we'll use the weapons he's given us and begin to shift the atmosphere, that's when you're going to start seeing victories. There's a lot of Christians, I believe, that walk a relationship with the Lord thinking, if I don't engage, if I kind of just sit back and enjoy my, you know, goosebumps every now and then and say my prayers and give my tithes, maybe the devil will leave me alone. It's not going to happen that way. Just because you may run from a fight, all that does is exposes your back. You can't turn and run from the battle the enemy is waging against you, because it's not going to stop. He doesn't care if you turn your back. It just gives him more of an opportunity. You're not avoiding attack. You're not avoiding a conflict. You're not removing yourself from a position where you might not suffer, you know, some hard times. But if you're afraid to engage, you're just leaving yourself vulnerable. I heard somebody say recently, they said, fear, let me see, I think I wrote it down. It said, got to get the glasses again. They said, fear to fight doesn't keep us from attack, but it does keep us from living victoriously. If you're afraid to fight, you're still going to face attack, but you'll never live in victory. You'll never have victory. If you're not willing to get in the face of God all you're doing is walking from attack to attack to attack, because they're going to keep coming. Your victory is going to come by joining the fight, by realizing that God has given you tools and weapons to be victorious. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, there was war going on this morning, a half hour ago. There was war going on. There were victories being won this morning. Because there were people in here that weren't afraid to say, no, devil, not today. That's a choice you have to make. Are you willing to say it? Keeping an eye on the watch. Some of the keys to victory. God has placed gifts and callings in all of us. They're not all the same. I know what my callings are. God has, since a young child, I have been anointed to pray. God has put a burden in my heart to pray. To pray for circumstances, to pray for things, to pray for people. I know God has put that calling on my life. My daughter over here, who sang this morning, I taught her how to do that. She's gifted to worship. And I don't care what anybody says, she's gifted to worship. You can't fake that. There's a calling on her, and she was doing war this morning. And she was doing war for some of you. Scott was doing war for some of you. This worship team was doing war for some of you this morning. I've been in church my whole life, and I've sat through services where it's a good show, but this isn't a show. This is a war. Pastor realizes that this isn't a show, this is a war. This worship team realizes that we're in a battle. And there's people here this morning that needed them to go to war. And they prayed this week to be able to come in here this morning and go to war for you. So becoming familiar with the weapons God has given you, I believe, is key to spiritual victory. We're not all gifted the same. As Pastor Bill was saying, my dad was a minister. My dad was my hero. My dad was my best man in my wedding. My dad started his first church when he was 16 years old in a garage and was in ministry from 16 years old to 74 years old. That's what he did his whole life. He ministered to people. He preached the word of God. And he wasn't a show. He was an anointed man of God that lived this thing out everywhere he went. My dad was killed leaving a minister's conference back in 2019, crossing the road from Oral Roberts University to his motorhome. He had received an award that night for years in ministry at the big center there at Oral Roberts University. Left, was crossing the road, and a truck hit him and killed him. What many people forget, and many people that have heard the story don't really pay much attention to, was my mom was with him that night too. She was right next to him. My mom uses a motorized scooter to go places. My dad was walking beside her. They were in the middle of a median. A truck came across, hit my dad. Just the mirror of the truck hit my dad in the head. But the front of the truck hit my mom in her scooter and threw her about 50 feet down the road. And she survived. Why didn't she go, but my dad did? I'll never know. I don't need to know. But I want to say, Mom, if you're watching today, God still has a plan for you. Your days are not over. And as long as he has you here, you're warring, Mom, in prayer. For me, for my sisters, for the rest of our family. You're battling. You're fighting. And we appreciate that. So recognizing your gifts, your tools. If you're called to worship, then worship. If you're called to pray, then pray. If you're called to pass out cookies like my mother-in-law back here, then pass out cookies, because that's doing war. My mother-in-law will give cookies to the mailman, to the FedEx guy, to the UPS driver, to the neighbors getting the mail, and she tells them, these are my prayer cookies for you. You telling me people aren't leaving those situations thinking, my goodness, prayer cookies? That's changing the atmosphere for somebody. That may sound insignificant, but that's changing the atmosphere in somebody's life. That is not insignificant. She's using the tools God has given her to change the course of somebody's life. It may not be that day. It may not be in a month or a year. But she's using the gifts God has given her to change the course of somebody's life. And I believe someday she's going to stand before the Lord and there's going to be people that come up to her and say, you know what, you gave me a prayer cookie. And I never forgot that. And that stuck with me for years. And then one day I walked into a church or somebody walked up to me because they were using their other gift when they were on the street and the Lord spoke to them and said, come, go speak to that person. And I remembered that prayer cookie you gave me a year ago, and I gave my heart to the Lord. But it started with that seed you planted at the mailbox or when I dropped off the package on your front porch. You weren't afraid to give me that cookie. Here's one of the tough points of this message. Another key to victory. Join in the ranks. Coming on a Sunday morning and sitting in your seat is not going to help you, is not going to lead you to a victorious life. There's many people that come to a Sunday morning service, but they don't have the time to come on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or a prayer night. I'm not saying that's the case for everybody, because I know people have jobs, and I know that we have responsibilities, but I also can tell you I'm nearly 50 years old, and I've been in church my whole life. And there's many people that would just rather sit home and watch the game. That kind of hurts. It's kind of quiet. Pastor didn't pay me to say that. But I'm telling you, if you want to live victorious, you got to join the ranks. When soldiers, when men and women entered the armed forces, when there's opportunities to train, they can't stay in their bunk. They don't tell their commanding officer, you know what, I think I'm going to just sit this one out. You guys go ahead. I'll ask somebody how it went later. Maybe I'll get what I need to from that. And I'm not saying this because I'm perfect. I'm saying it because that's what the Holy Spirit told me to say this morning. There's people here this morning that would rather just sit home and watch the game or watch the news or take the dog for a walk. And then you're wondering, why am I struggling? Why are my kids not serving the Lord? Why am I not getting out of life what I thought I was going to get out of life? Why am I struggling with this addiction? It's not a Burger King Christianity, your way right away. There's commitment involved. And it's a commitment greater than sitting here on a Sunday morning and waiting 7 days till another Sunday morning. I heard a message a while back ago, and the pastor said in the message, he said, we all want to see God do amazing things, but most of us are living compromised lives. That speaks to me. I've cried out and asked God many, many times, God, why aren't we seeing the miracles you said we'd see? You know what happens? I begin to get convicted because I see the compromise in my own life. I remember giving this word a while back ago, Pastor, you may remember, but I remember telling Pastor, and I believe I shared it before you, and I was saying, God, we want to see the miraculous. We want to see your hand move. We want to see people healed. We want to see relationships restored. We want to see our children come to know you in a real way. And the Lord said, then what are you doing about it? He said, you have no right to cry out for this to happen if you're not willing to pay the price. You can't call out for me to perform miracles and expect for somebody else to take up their cross and pay the price for those to happen. If you want to see them, get off your butt, join the ranks, use the tools I've given you, join the fight, and shift the atmosphere. You can't leave it in the hands of somebody else. You want to see your children love the Lord? Go to war. You want to stop facing the addiction that you've had for years? Fight the fight. Men, you want to stop the craving for the porn addiction that's going on in this culture? Fight the fight. Get on your face. Use the tools God has given you. Don't leave it up to somebody else. It's not just going to go away. You're not going to wake up one day and it's be like, I'm cured. It's all gone. It's not the way it's going to happen. It is not going to happen like that. You have got to fight. You've got to fight for your freedom. You might not like it, but this is what the Holy Spirit told me to say. I'm only going to pick on the men in that regards this morning. I had something to say about women too, but I'm going to leave that one alone. I got to go home with a woman today. It's time to fight, guys. I've got a friend here this morning. He's been a friend of mine for, geez, shortly after I moved to the Port Huron area. I grew up in the Bad Axe area, and then after I got married, my wife was from Marysville, and we eventually made our way this way. But Ryan is a good friend of mine. When Ryan and I met, Ryan was a mess. Ryan, you don't care if I share this, right? He's good. I was going to share it anyways, buddy. Ryan was a mess. And I don't know why, but God drew me and Ryan together. In his mess, and me being where I came from, you know, lifelong go to church, and not that I've never faced struggles, but, you know, knowing God had a calling on my life, but God began to draw us together as friends. Here I am, church my whole life, you know, calling of God, knowing that God has called me and placed his hand upon me. And here Ryan is a drug addict, an alcoholic. But Ryan was coming to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Ryan was coming to prayer meetings in his addiction, in his faults. Ryan didn't just wake up one morning and all of his cravings for drugs and alcohol was gone. But Ryan chose to fight in his addiction, in his struggles. And Ryan is here this morning, a man of God, called, anointed, and gifted, because he wasn't afraid to fight. Even in the middle of the battle, even when the struggle was real, Ryan was fighting. And he's free this morning. And Ryan is sharpening the tools God has given him to go to war for others. That's amazing. Ryan, here's another one of my keys in joining the ranks. This is a community. We're not in this alone. We're not meant to walk our Christian lives out alone. We've got to surround ourselves with people that we can lock arms with, that we can lean on, that we can call on, that can see when we're struggling and they can pick us up, that can hold us up in prayer, that can help us fight when we're weak to fight on our own. Ryan is one of my guys, a former drug addict and alcoholic, and a guy that's grown up in church his whole life, have locked arms, and we fight together. When I need something, when I need prayer, Ryan's one of the guys I call. He's my community. You're not going to live victorious if you try to walk this out alone. You've got to get a community around you. You've got to join ranks with the people that God has put in your life. You've got to become vulnerable. That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to share your deepest secrets, to let people in on the things you think nobody needs to know about. But you're not going to be victorious unless you get people in your life that can speak into your life, that can pray for you, that can lock arms with you, that can hold you up when you're fallen. You're just going from attack to attack to attack. You got to surround yourself with people. You got to find yourself some people that you can lock arms with. It's not going to be everybody. It's probably only going to be two or three people that you really have that kind of relationship with. But you got to do it. You got to be willing to say, this is where I'm weak. This is where I struggle. This is where I fall. That's when you're going to start to see victory. Another key to victory is don't get distracted by the decoys. The enemy will throw all kinds of things out there and make you think, this is the issue, this is the issue, this is another issue. But he's only distracting you from the real fight. He's throwing those things out there because he's trying to keep you from entering the real battle. There's all kinds of things. I mean, just look around. There's all kinds of things you could say, I need to go to war about that. I need to fight that fight. I need to go tell that person how I feel. I need to go tell the worship leader I didn't like that song. Those are decoys. The enemies are throwing those out there to keep you from realizing that there's really a fight going on up there. This will change if you'll fight that fight. Your surroundings, your culture, the atmosphere around you will begin to change if you'll do war in the heavens. If you won't be afraid to engage. We had 11:30. It's funny. Like, I'm scrambling through these notes. So Tammy Forbes emailed me the other day, and she's like, can I get your notes? And then I started thinking, yeah, they post people's notes on that. What is it? And I'm like, I don't even know what my notes say. There's no way somebody else is going to know what these things say. They're just scrambled. Like, I got arrows pointing different ways, and it's supposed to go there and not here. And geez, that'd be a bigger fight than the spiritual fight, trying to decipher these things. Man. I'm not here to be funny. Moving on. So another thing, just so you guys can see what I'm talking about when I say the spiritual, like the spiritual war that's going on. Where's my note on this? Might take me a while. I know I wrote it down. There it is. All right, so in 2 Kings 6, 8 through 17, I'm reading this out of the Message translation. It says, one time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he said, at such and such a place, I want an ambush set. The holy man, who was Elisha, sent a message to the king of Israel. Watch out when you're passing this place, because Aram has set an ambush there. So the king of Israel sent word concerning the place of which the holy man had warned him. This kind of thing happened all the time. The king of Aram was furious over this. He called his officers together and said, tell me, who is leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy in our ranks? But one of the men said, no, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom. And the king said, go and find out where he is. I'll send someone and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he dispatched horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and surrounded the city. Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man, so a servant of Elisha, got up and went out. Surprise, horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, oh, master, what shall we do? Elisha said, don't worry about it. There are more on our side than there are on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh God, open his eyes and let him see. And the eyes of the young man were opened, and he saw a wonder, a whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elijah. Amen. He seen the distraction. He seen the decoys. That servant seen what the enemy, he seen the enemy, and he didn't see the fight. But the Lord opened his eyes, and he seen the heavenly forces that were on their side. So much greater than the natural forces, the horses and chariots that had surrounded the city. God's on your side. There's a heavenly host fighting for you. Another key to victory is in Ephesians 6. Got to make sure, where's the glasses? Starting in verse 14, the armor of God says, so earlier we read, it said, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In 14, here's what it says, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your armor. I don't do it every day, but I try when I'm in the shower, saying, Lord, I put on your armor. I shod my feet with peace. Lord, everywhere I go, let me be a beacon of peace. Let me take your peace everywhere I step today. Lord, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, let your righteousness way outshine anything Rich Willett can do today. Lord, I operate in your righteousness today, not mine. Mine's filthy rags. Lord, I take the helmet of salvation. Lord, it's your salvation that guards my mind today. My mind is full of your salvation. Every thought that would come in contrary to that salvation, I take into captivity this morning, and it will not be able to sit and meditate in my mind today. I have my shield of faith. God, help me keep that shield in front of me everywhere I go. Everywhere of attack that the enemy would try to throw at me today, Lord, it's by faith that I face that fight. And I take your word, the sword, and I fight with your word. I don't fight in my own strength. I fight with your word. It's your word, God, not mine, that's going to defeat every attack of the enemy. Just some encouraging scriptures I believe the Lord gave me. I hope this wasn't too much where you're like, man, that seems kind of rough. Do I really want to do that? God wins. Might not look like it now, but God wins. I remember years, I'm sorry, I get emotional. I remember years ago talking to my dad about the chaos, about the mess. My dad looked at me and said, Rich, God wins. He said, he didn't create all of this. He didn't speak all of this in existence. Only for one day the enemy to look up at him and say, I won. I got more here than you got there. God wins. And we can see the chaos, we can see the mess going on around us. But I'm going to tell you something, there's going to be a move of God.